Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Canby podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. The Canby Cougar softball team honored a former star and longtime supporter with a brief ceremony and moment of silence before their home game against Lake Ridge this week. Alyssa Netter led a talented Canby softball program that ran the Three Rivers League in the late 1980s, earning first-team All-State honors as a utility infielder in 1989, and helping lay the groundwork for the Coug State title run 5 years later, the first in any girls sport in school history. Netter later was a beloved secretary at Canby High School and a staunch supporter of Cougar athletics. Her own children, two sets of twins, went on to star in several sports. Alyssa Netter passed away suddenly Thursday at the age of 51. She will be so missed by this community, longtime friends Tracy Tatum Shimon told Now Hear This, Canby. She had such a passion for life and was truly beloved by the kids at the high school. She always had a house full of kids and she loved it that way. To honor Netter and her contributions to the school district and athletic community, head softball coach Ty Kraft announced the team would share some brief remarks and a moment of silence before their first pitch against Lake Ridge on Wednesday. Kraft said he first met Netter while serving on the community's youth softball board and that she was also active in coaching. She was somewhat unusual among parents in that she volunteered in, supported, and attended many sports and athletic events in which her own children did not participate. She was just a huge supporter of Canby Athletics, Kraft said. We've been talking to the team about the type of player she was and how we can best represent and honor her. She was a fierce competitor in athletics and in life. She was not afraid of anything, but she was always a great person to work with. The team will honor Netter and her number, 12, in other ways the rest of the season, Kraft said. They will wear stickers bearing the number on their batting helmets and will celebrate base hits by holding up one finger on one hand and two on the other to form the number 12. A celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. on Sunday, May 15th at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds Main Pavilion. A 27-year-old Portland man was shot and killed, and a Woodburn police officer was injured after multiple shots were fired during a four-hour standoff at an Aurora area truck stop last week. Officials identified Micaiah Clinton as the victim of the shooting on the afternoon of April 25th. Woodburn police officer Jesse Ponce was struck and injured during the shooting and underwent surgery at a hospital, but is in stable condition, police said. The Oregon State Police provided little information on the circumstances that prompted the shooting in a Monday evening update. They did not say who shot and killed Clinton, whether Clinton had a firearm, or how Ponce was injured. At least one officer, Marion County Sheriff's Office Deputy Tyler Morrow, fired his weapon during the shooting, according to the Oregon State Police. He has been placed on administrative leave, which is standard protocol after law enforcement shootings. A deputy, U.S. Marshal, requested deputies respond to the truck stop at 6:15 a.m. after Clinton was seen in the parking lot, the state police said. Court records show that Clinton was facing charges of fleeing a police officer and being a felon in possession of a firearm, stemming from two separate arrests in 2021, and there was a warrant out for his arrest. Clinton barricaded himself in a van, officials said, prompting deputies to call in the Marion County Interagency SWAT team for assistance. The SWAT team tried to persuade Clinton to get out of the van for more than 3 hours before deploying gas munitions, the state police said. At around 10:50 a.m., Clifton left the van and multiple shots were fired, according to the state police. They did not say who fired those shots. The shooting is being investigated by the Oregon State Police in conjunction with the Marion County District Attorney's Office. This is the third shooting by an officer in Marion County this year. Salem police have shot and killed two people this year, one on February 7th and one on April 11th. A Clackamas man is facing at least 10 years in prison after prosecutors say he robbed a local public house at gunpoint and stole several cartons of cigarettes. Prosecutors said 40-year-old Dustin Lee Henderson held up the Lighthouse Pub in Clackamas with a handgun more than 2 years ago on November 22, 2019. He was convicted on Wednesday. Surveillance footage from the scene showed Henderson hand a bag to a clerk and take five cartons of cigarettes. According to a release from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Oregon, he then fired a round when the pub's owner chased him through the parking lot. Family and friends mourn the loss of two Southridge High students in fatal car wreck. No injuries were reported in the release. Officials said police later found a .22 caliber bullet casing around the scene and arrested Henderson in a nearby mobile home lot. While carrying out a subsequent search warrant, investigators found the stolen cigarettes and a .22 pistol later linked to Henderson through DNA analysis, officials said. Officers from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives investigated the case along with the Oregon State Police and Clackamas County Sheriff's Office. A federal jury in Portland indicted Henderson on January 22, 2020, and found him guilty this week of interfering with commerce with threats or violence, possession of a firearm in relation to a violent crime, and illegally possessing a firearm as a convicted felon. He now faces a 10-year mandatory minimum sentence with a $250,000 fine and 5 years of supervised release and a maximum sentence of life in prison. Little Love Resale, a new baby and children's clothing consignment boutique, has opened at the Dahlia in downtown Canby. Owner Rachel Provencher, who grew up in Canby and currently lives in Westland, said the store is a longtime dream of hers, as well as something the community needs. "I have always loved the idea of a consignment store," she explained. "I have two kids of my own and realized how quickly they grew out of their clothes and how expensive clothes are. And Canby is really in desperate need of some children's clothing stores." In addition to clothing for boys and girls up to size 14, the store will carry a selection of books, toys, baby gear, and much more. It will also feature some work from local makers and crafters. Mary Hanlon, founder and principal of Hanlon Development, which is the managing member of the Dahlia and is leading the redevelopment of the Canby Civic Block, told NHT Canby the development is thrilled to welcome the new store. The news comes barely a month after Tin and Paisley opened a new location, offering women's clothing and fashion items just a couple blocks away at the Holly Mall. It also marks the final build-out of the Dahlia, an ambitious redevelopment project meant to be an economic anchor for downtown Canby, but which was slow to find commercial tenants when it was completed in August of 2018. But now, less than 4 years later, the Dahlia boasts a restaurant, a cafe, two retail stores, and a physical therapy clinic, and its 69 studio and one-bedroom apartments are fully leased. We started the negotiations with the city in 2015, opened the Dahlia toward the end of 2018, and now we are 100% leased, Hanlon said. It is a long but satisfying process. Canby is an amazing community, and we are thrilled to be part of the revitalization of the historic downtown. Little Love Resale accepts cash and will offer store credit. The store is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. For more information, visit their store on Facebook or Instagram at Little Love Resale. Cougar Country Hometown Sports Coverage is brought to you by Reif & Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR and Instagram at Cougar Country POD. After facing the top two teams in the Three Rivers League in the past 3 weeks, the Canby Cougar baseball team had an evenly matched series in Tigard next up on the docket. On paper, the Cougars and the Tigers boast similar overall records, but the big difference is the competition. While the Cougars have beaten the likes of Lake Ridge and Westland, Tigard has notched only one win over Lake Oswego. On paper, the Cougars and the Tigers boast similar overall records, but the big difference is the competition. While the Cougars have beaten the likes of Lake Ridge and Westland, Tigard has notched only one win over Lake Oswego. Canby began the series with a home win that looked very similar to their win over Lake Ridge 3 weeks ago, one without many hits. While Joe Brockmiller was dealing strikes for the Cougars, his offense struggled to get hits against Buddy Brands. Through the first four innings, both Brockmiller and Brands were dealing no-hitters. Isaac Herzog broke up Canby's no-hit bid with a single in the top of fifth innings, one that ultimately proved to be the only hit of the day for the Tigers. Brock Miller struck out seven and allowed only three base runners all afternoon. However, as Canby Sr. continued to send Tigers back to the dugout, the Cougars' bat stayed silent. Brand still hadn't allowed a hit as the game entered the final inning, tied 0-0. After Theo Netter was hit by a pitch in advance due to a bunt, Canby was in their best position all afternoon despite only getting two batters on base all day. Clayton Langdale stepped to the plate. Before this at-bat, he had struck out twice, once looking and once swinging. On the first pitch, Langdale sent an RBI double down the line that not only broke up the no-hitter, it won the game for the Cougars. Despite recording a mere one hit and three base runners, the Cougars had scratched and clawed their way to a win, their second win of the season with less than five base runners. One day later, the Cougars were victorious again thanks to opportunistic offense. Looking at the final score, 4-2, it would appear that Canby had conquered their hitting woes from the day before. However, Canby recorded just three hits to Tigard's eight. Once again, those hits came at the perfect time to translate to runs. Alex Evans and Kellen Oakes both picked up their hits in the top of the third. After Evans singled, Brockmiler and Mikey Gibson both walked to put the Cougars in prime position. Two at-bats and a passed ball score later, Oakes smacked an RBI double down the line to give Canby a 3-2 lead, one that would only grow for the away team. Ironically enough, Canby's best day at the plate would be their only loss of the series. Tiger took Friday's game 5-2, despite being out-hit 7-6. The Cougs made contact with the bat, but left runners stranded. Despite the loss, the Cougars exited the week with their first series win of the year. Stolzig knows that his team's potential could lead to more wins. The Cougars will have to be ready for another dogfight as they face number 6 Tualatin this week. Though the Timberwolves boast the better record, both Canby and Tualatin posted a 1-2 record against Lake Ridge.
Hey Tyler, read any good books lately?
Yeah, actually I'm reading a really good one right now.
Awesome, what's it about?
It's kind of complicated, but there's like these two kids with an absent parent, and then this mysterious stranger shows up with his sinister accomplices, and they just start wreaking havoc in their lives. I think it's like a Faustian metaphor.
Wow, that sounds really dense.
It is.
Interesting, though. Who wrote it?
You know, I think it's like a doctor. Starts with like an S or something. Sass, sos.
Tyler, are you reading The Cat in the Hat?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to. It's taken me like 2 months to get this far.
Okay. Well, hey, whatever your interest or reading level, open the world of all things books at the Book Nook in downtown Canby.
Yeah, guys, this local independently owned and operated store is your one-stop shop for the latest releases and great deals on a huge variety of previously owned books, as well as games, art, and writing supplies and gifts.
They also do book clubs and game nights if you're looking for some fun, healthy activities right here in Canby. And hey, you know, for you, Tyler, they have a really expansive selection of children's books.
Oh, cool. Anyway, check them out on Facebook and Instagram, online at booknookcanby.com, or stop by 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue and let their friendly staff introduce you to your new favorite read. Hey, Frankie, why do you think I'd be interested in children's books?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
This is Roz Mason, and I'm running for State Senate District 26, which now includes Canby. I know we need affordable housing, a strong local economy, and to face climate challenges of wildfire and heat waves like last year's that hit 118 in the Dalles, where I live. Climate courage also includes upsides, like becoming more energy independent using renewables and helping our district get in on innovative technology and manufacturing jobs. I'm visiting Canby and Sandy April 14th through 16th. I'd love to see you. Visit masonfororegon.com for info and to get a yard sign. Paid for by Mason for Oregon.
All right. Well, it's been a little while, but we're excited to welcome back once again onto the Canby Conversation today, Shauna Casey. She's the marketing director of the Oregon Renaissance Fair, along with many other events in Oregon and Washington. Hi, Shauna. How are you?
Hi, Tyler. I'm doing well.
You guys, glad to be coming back here to Canby later this summer.
So very excited to return.
Absolutely. So the Oregon Renaissance Fair is coming back for, what is it now, the fifth year? What will it be?
Well, we're considering it at our fifth year, even though it would have been, what, our seventh year?
Chronologically, yeah.
Yeah. So after a two-year hiatus, we'll be doing the fifth annual Oregon Renaissance Fair.
Awesome. Back at the fairgrounds.
Yes. Love that spot.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, let's talk just a little bit about, you know, before I guess we move on to more pleasant matters, but the past 2 years and the challenge of that, because both times you guys kind of tried to make it work, like we're an outdoor event. Can we do this? Can we modify? Can we do different things? And I assume just the logistics of the size of the event that you guys are trying to do, trying to manage it from up there in Washington, you're a nonprofit. It was just too hard.
Well, yeah. And, you know, with everything going on health wise and with COVID, it was so much trying to wait to see what the county was going to allow. Right.
Sure,
and
sure.
So much of that was like this. It was a roller coaster ride. And we want to only bring the absolute best show. And we thought operating at a 25% capacity just wasn't going to be worth it, you know, to what we're used to bringing to Oregon. So, you know, we decided to wait till it was safe, thinking about all the people that would come and our cast and crew, make sure everybody was safe. And now here we are in 2022, and we feel like it's time to return.
Yeah. That decision that was made by the board of the nonprofit, remind me the name.
It is, we call it REIS, and that stands for Washington Renaissance Arts and Education Society.
Thank you. Thank you. I knew the acronym. but that decision, or the two decisions, I guess, coming in subsequent years, I know for them, for staff and volunteers, must have just been so agonizing, right? So difficult, because this is what you guys do. This is your passion. And to just not be able to be faced with this decision of either not doing it or trying to do it in a way that you know is not going to be what you want has got to be just so hard.
It was very difficult. And to be honest, we have such a soft spot for the Oregon Renaissance Fair. For many of us, it is our favorite. It's, quaint. The Oregon people and residents are so amazing and so just grateful, I think, to have something like this in the area. And so it was heartbreaking for us to not be able to bring the fun and excitement for those 2 years. So that's why this year it's going to be bigger and better than it's ever been.
Awesome. Well, that's a great seg, Shauna. Tell us about what we've got coming down the pike this year. You said it's going to be bigger and better than ever.
Yes.
Remind us even what we're talking about. What is events? What is Renaissance Fair? It's been 2 years.
I know, right?
Right?
For the people that, and you know what is shocking is how many people are unaware of a Renaissance Fair.
I feel like you
fair.
Have to say it's because we've all just been Netflixing. Like it's like Game of Thrones, but real.
But without killing and the murder. Yeah, right. Exactly. That's exactly it. So I always tell people it is. Think of just a cosplayer's dream, right?
Yeah.
And when people think about cosplay, they think about conventions and they don't always think about the Renaissance Fair or the pirate festivals and things like that, which is, so I always say think about Pirates of the Caribbean and maybe even a little bit of Outlander and Game of Thrones, and then throw in every fantasy and Witcher, whatever you can throw in, because you're going to see all those types of people at the Renaissance Fair.
Oh, I saw Deadpool 3 years ago.
Yes, Deadpool. And you know what's fun about the Deadpool is he even has the right garb, as we call it, the right cosplay,
right? It was Deadpool
right? In
like a kilt, yeah.
Thank you, right? And when we did Washington Fair, we had some Jedis that were Jedi Knights, meaning, they look like Jedis, but they were wearing night clothing instead of a regular. It's just the creativity is there, so it's such a great opportunity for people who love outdoor things, want something different. It's so inclusive and immersive, so that's really the spirit of a Renaissance Fair. Your sound went away again. You're on mute.
Sorry.
There you are. You're back.
I'm back. Oh man, I've got too much Zoom fatigue at the wazoo,
right?
Shauna.
And it's a Monday.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for being patient with me. I was just saying, it's very much like an adult Halloween feel or an adult Disneyland. Very well done. You guys have so much kind of because again, you're an educational nonprofit and obviously these events are super fun and people come out and have a really great time, but there are nuggets of real history underlying everything that goes into it. And I feel like that comes through in a really cool way for folks that are interested in that, like I am. Like I really love seeing this is a little bit of a flavor. Obviously this was something that was created for an event in our lovely county fairgrounds, but it has a flavor of what this might have actually been like, hundreds of years
absolutely.
Ago.
Yes, absolutely. The Renaissance era itself was the birth of so many things and creative wise, right? And so that's really, going to find a lot of, so in our court, for example, being the nobles, you'll see a lot of, we try to keep that portion as historically accurate as possible. So many of those characters were real during that time. The costuming is a lot more accurate to the times, so we have that, a lot of times there are, once in a while we have a guy that comes in that even has artifacts, if you will, from that time, like books and different things like that from the Renaissance era that we share with people. And Punch and Judy is a great example. That's the puppet show that's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's a dying art that existed during that time. So the Punch and Judy of today is so very similar to the Punch and Judy from 300 years ago. So, you're right about, and the pirates that come, they actually have real artifacts of pirate stuff that they show and they teach and they talk about it. So there is so many, you're right, so many little nuggets of history that's mixed in there.
Yeah. I don't know if the storyline is still the same, but a few years ago, and I believe originally it was the festival was built around a visit from Mary, Queen of Scots, obviously a real historical figure. Is that still how we're approaching it?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And so that obviously welcoming a queen to this village, that's why you have the tournaments. That's why you have all the fun stuff going on with the festive atmosphere of welcoming royalty, right? So
yes. So we call it, so it's a Scottish themed fair. So this fair in Oregon, Vale of Dunrose, is in Scotland, if you will. And we have Mary, Queen of Scots. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I was transported there for a second. I was like, wait. What, did I get reconnected to a different Zoom person? Like,
you did. So, you know, it was, so that is our theme. So we've got more of a Scottish theme. We've got the Scottish court, and you'll see a lot, you know, bagpipers and things like that there. If you come up to Washington, which many Oregon folks do come up to Washington, it's an Elizabethan fair. Right. So it's a little bit different in that perspective, but yes, you're right about that. It's a Scottish fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Which Scotland kind of fits the better vibe of Canby. We're a little more rugged. We're just a little more kind of, you know, I can't count the number of times I've just been walking down the street and seeing somebody in a kilt, you know, lugging a couple of sheep. It's just common.
It's Canby our sight. People. Those are our people.
Awesome. So it is happening this year for sure.
It is happening this year, and it's for the first two weekends in June.
Okay.
And they're also themed. So for the people that love to dress up, that's your opportunity to really have fun with it and within a theme.
Nice. So what are the themes? What's coming down the pipe?
So the first weekend, which is our opening weekend, we're calling it the Ultimate Ren Con Cosplay Adventure. So for all the people that have missed conventions and the opportunity to do anything, that weekend is dedicated to every kind of festival and convention out there, for all the genres of geeks that exist out there that we love so much. It's like, hey, you want to wear that? Wear it to the Renaissance Fair. Mm-hmm. So that's the weekend one. Weekend two is a fantasy type. So we call it Mystical Wanderlust.
Yeah.
It's all things dedicated to fairy, fantasy, and everything in between. So
I get the sense that this is very much like it always was, but I mean, even more so now after the 2 year hiatus and the disappointment of having to cancel. This is just very much just a celebration and kind of a welcoming of folks from this really broad, really diverse community that just haven't had the chance to come together and have a good time like we love to do.
Exactly. And I think since it's in June, it's kind of opening up for the summer that's about to happen. You know, there's going to be a lot of things for people to do in the summer, but we feel like the Oregon Ren Fair is kind of the gateway to the summertime. So we definitely want to take advantage of kind of being there at the forefront to say, hey, welcome. Here's your first chance before you go and do all your other fun stuff. Also scratch that Renaissance Fair itch you've been missing for two years.
Right, right. Logistically, putting on something like this after, you know, having built it and then have to take a 2 year break and now coming back, especially with the way that you guys do it, with all the entertainment, all the little features, you've got, you know, the merchants and the, like you said, the puppeteers and the tournament, some of these folks doing this, some of the actors or reenactors have such specific skill sets, right? There can't be like thousands of, like, you know, accurate
followers.
Scottish era, Renaissance era Scottish Punch and Judy people. How difficult is it to kind of, you know, maintain those contacts, keep that kind of infrastructure and that community alive, and then bring it back for this year?
That's a great question. So what's great about it is we all stay connected through the year. Our entertainment director, Melissa, is amazing because she was an entertainer for a long time. And so she actually played Mary, Queen of Scots for a while.
Oh, cool.
And so she maintains relationships with these people throughout the year. And a lot of, you know, we treat our people really well at Ren Faires, you know, as far as, so but the bigger the Ren Faires are, sometimes it's harder to get that personal, you know, interaction with the people in charge. But we really take pains to stay in front of them. We're in the groups. We're constantly chatting with them. And we've built these relationships with them over the years. It's become a favorite for many performers. As soon as the application goes up, they're filling it out because they love these, you know, what we do and how we treat our people. So I would say it is difficult, but we've cultivated the relationships for over a decade now. And so it's easy actually now for us to get really good entertainment. Believe it or not, they find you, right? Because they're like, yeah. Guess what? I can juggle on a tricycle on a rope. And then, you know, so who's that good for? Renaissance circuses. Yeah, right. So a lot of times they're reaching out to us to say, I've got this really weird talent. Would that fit at a Renaissance fair?
Right.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can see they're not going into work source Oregon with that necessarily.
No, there may be a kid's birthday, like forget clowns, how about an aerialist, you know?
yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. One thing we haven't talked about yet, which might be my favorite part, is the food. What's that gonna look like? You guys like to, I love the big, just the huge honking turkey legs and
you know, if that's the thing that you really see, right, with Renaissance fairs, you think knights and jousting, you think turkey legs, those ale. Two things, and ale, right?
Yeah,
and so those are the things.
Ale, yeah.
You definitely have to get a turkey leg. We all, you know, we had some new merchant coordinators this year who were awesome, really going out there and trying to find some local, you know, Oregon, we have a new meat pie person, for example.
Oh, nice.
No Scottish fair is complete without Scottish meat pies, right? Yep,
the pet.
So you definitely want to probably check that out. And then I think we're going to have ice cream and different, because, you know, June, it's either going to rain or it's going to be hot, but it's probably going to be both.
Yeah.
So there's going to be lots of different things. And all of our ale is locally sourced. You know, we work with all locally sourced for to get our alcohol in. So
awesome.
The only thing is the mead, I believe, comes up from Washington. We have a local mead guy here. That's awesome.
Oh, cool.
Opgard Meadery is what they're called. And they just, you know, so their stuff is really good. And it's very much in theme with our Renaissance fairs, right? So, and then we also have new entertainment this year. I don't want to leave out the new entertainment that we have this year. That I know people are excited to see some of the old entertainment, but we have new entertainment that's also incredible coming.
Very cool. That's awesome. The last thing I wanted to ask you about, Shauna, is I just love your cast, or I guess 3 years ago when I went. I remember from the very beginning, you know, they try to kind of help you get immersed into this world and have sort of clever ways that they kind of incorporate the real life stuff into, you know, oh, you such odd dress. If you're not dressed, period, you know, if you're just dressed in like jeans or whatever, they'll maybe comment, or like when you hand over your tickets, they're like, oh, parchment or magic box if you have it on your phone or whatever.
Right.
I wonder or imagine if there's going to be some type of pandemic woven into the story at all, or is that something you just are ready to forget about?
Well, I'm sure you're probably going to see lots of creative plague doctor type characters.
Yes.
But you know what I mean? So in last year at Washington, we actually did do a lot of that kind of plague. Like, you know, the joke was after you paid and got your ticket, you have to get a stamp. And it'd be like, we'd say, you know, it was like the plague stamp or, you know, something ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we don't know if it's as popular because it was more, a little bit more in the times a year ago than it say it is right now.
Right.
But all those people are kind of independently work as groups. So I'm always surprised at the stuff that they come up with and say, and their shticks for the year, you know what I mean? So yeah. I'm sure you'll see some of it, but I don't know how much you'll see.
Awesome. More looking forward to it. Shauna, is there anything else that you wanted to tell us about for this year's Oregon Renaissance Fair?
I do. I want to say there is one very new and exciting thing that we have never done before, and that is Saturday night entertainment.
Awesome.
So on the Saturday nights, there is special party entertainment situations for 21 and up. Actually, I will say, though, the fire show, there's going to be a fire show, a band and a fire show on the other side. Remember in the joust arena, there's like the other side that's non 21 and up.
Yeah.
I think if people with families want to stay to see the show, they can see it from the bleachers, but the party is going to be going on within the bar and the arena. So yeah. It's going to be a band, a local band called Brother, I believe, and then an incredible fire troupe. They're going to do fire show. And
that's like juggling torches and stuff.
They have whips. They have fans. They do this. And actually, it's incredible. If you look at some of the photos from the Washington Ren Fair on the Facebook, they do these huge fire, like they blow fire in a, like a row. So it's like a full fire show.
Wow. I can't wait. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so that's going to be cool. Never done before. It's 7 p.m. to 12 p.m. Saturday only is an after-hours event.
Yeah, so, I remember you guys talking about that a few years ago. That's been something you've been wanting to do for a while.
It's so popular, you know, where people don't necessarily want to stop at 7 o'clock and leave.
Right.
You know, so we're like, well,
I spent 4 months on this costume. I'm not just wearing it.
Yeah, I'm not just going to go home today. We're going to do something, or so help me. So that is something that we definitely want people to think about and check out and stay for the evening entertainment. And if they have any, I wonder what that looks like. You know, WashingtonFair.com, which is our sister Renaissance Fair, had the fire troop there, and all the pictures from the fire troop show, of course, are the best of the best, because what doesn't look cool at night with these Viking warrior looking people spitting fire everywhere, right?
I literally cannot think of anything that would.
It's the cool of the cool. So yes, we are excited, very excited to be back in Canby, and we are thankful to all the to all of Canby for their support.
Yeah. Well, we are so grateful to have you guys back. I know it was a challenging couple of years, but I just, my heart would break if we weren't able to welcome you guys back, because it's such a great event. You and your team do such a fabulous job in the fairgrounds, working with them to put on something that is just so unique, so great, so needed in our area and in our state. And it's just such a blast. So fun. If you've never gone before, this is definitely the year to finally check it out. And we hear that. I wonder if you guys do, but because there's still like a newer event in Canby. You know, a lot of our events have been going on for 200 years. So this is still like one of those ones where a lot of people are like, oh, you know, I've been meaning to see that some year or whatnot. But yeah, it's definitely worth
it. This is the year so just imagine it's like 20, especially the people that came in 2019. We had a huge turnout. Just think of that, but it's 2.0. We have just upgraded everything. So really excited.
Yeah. Obviously, like you say, some adult stuff you're adding this year, but it's a great, great family thing too. My kids just had an absolute blast 3 years ago. So
tons of stuff for the kids. Just so much. And here's the other little bit of advice. No, you do not have to dress up if you don't want to. You know, people are always worried about that, but by the time you leave,
you'll want to.
Right. Yes. You'll want to. You wish you did. I've seen so many people change or put it on over their clothes while they are there. So,
yeah.
You know, you don't feel bad if you don't have anything to dress up in, but any of your cosplay stuff is going to be perfect for the Ren Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. They come in just normal with like coat and tie, but they leave, they've got the Braveheart paint on.
They've cut off their pants and turned them into kilts.
They
plague them. They've pledged themselves to the queen. It is. Yes, you are right. 100%.
Absolutely. Where can folks go to find out more? Social media, Shauna, and website?
Yes. So you can go on to our Facebook page, which is the Oregon Renaissance Fair, or OregonFairWithAnE.com.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much, Shauna. We really look forward to seeing you this summer.
Hey, ditto, Tyler. Thank you so much for having us on and for having us there.
Hey, Frankie, I've loved working on this show with you and all, but I think it's time I go all in on becoming a full-time gamer.
Oh, yeah? That's great, but aren't you always talking about getting owned by, like, 11-year-olds in Warzone and stuff
No. That was because my upload speeds, remember? Mm. Whenever I had to drop on someone, I would get destroyed because of the internet lag.
Right. Internet lag.
Anyway, that all changed when I switched to DirectLink. My upload speeds are way faster now, and my online rank has improved a ton. Bro, I'm gonna be Twitch famous.
I'm glad to hear it. And you know, just in case, if the whole professional gamer thing doesn't work out, it will help you with uploading files for the show.
Not a chance, my man. And hey, when I become famous and bring in the big bucks from that sweet, sweet Twitch contract, you'll be the first to hear, I told you so. I've got the skills, and now I've got the reliable internet. It's just a matter of time.
I'm rooting for you, buddy. Hey, before all that, how about you remind our listeners how they can get the best and fastest upload speeds in Canby?
Just go to directlink.coop/internet or call them at 503-266-8111, then pick the plan that's right for you. Every speed, not just their top tiers, come with unlimited data and upload speeds up to 10 times faster than other providers. Give them a call, and just like my Twitch career, you won't be disappointed.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, I'm AJ. I'm your local Oddmos franchise owner.
I'm Mike, co-founder of Oddmos.
And we're the hosts of The Odd Pod, a podcast about
life in the pizza industry. We're going to have on some franchisees. We're going to have some different vendors on. We're going to get a snapshot of what goes on behind the scenes in the pizza world.
Don't forget to tell them about the sports.
They're sports.
And the crazy wacky pizza that we have every Wednesday that we create. And we also have a special guest every week as well.
And I'm Gage, Odd Pod's senior sports analyst.
Gage, who gave you that title?
Me.
Oh boy. Find us on Spotify and Apple Music and the Podbean.
Can Be Then is brought to you by Retro Revival. They are not your average antique shop. Open daily. Find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grant in downtown Canby, or connect with them on Facebook or through email at retrorevivaloc@gmail.com. Welcome back to our history series, Can Be Then, as we continue our look at some of the most devastating and colorful moments from the history of the Canby Fire District, which have helped shape our town over the past 100 years. In 1913, the Stefani Lumber Mill burned, an uninsured loss estimated at $10,000, more than a quarter million in today's funds. Fortunately, the fire occurred when the mill was closed and no one was hurt in the blaze. By the time it had been discovered, it was already too late, but employees nevertheless organized a bucket brigade and succeeded in saving a large quantity of lumber piled near the mill. Since the mill had been closed and empty hours before the fire broke out, arson was suspected, but no evidence can be found implicating anyone, according to newspapers at that time. Before the ruins were cold, Ardinius Stefani, the proprietor, had made plans for the immediate reconstruction of the mill, a force of carpenters being now on the ground. He said he would have an entirely new mill in operation in less than 3 weeks. To be fair, he did have the lumber. Around Halloween of 1957, Canby High School teacher and wrestling coach Jack Hollister heard some strange sounds coming from his front porch, but it wasn't trick-or-treaters. It was a burlap bag soaked in oil and burning quite merrily. Fortunately, the bag was empty, and Hollister was able to extinguish the blaze himself without assistance from the fire district. The incident was an escalation in a continuing series of pranks and troublemaking between Canby and Mulala youths, which had been raging in the run-up to the annual football game between the two rival schools. Sadly, newspapers record that Canby was the instigator in the feud, as the first incident reported was the burning of a giant C on the lawn of Mulala High School. Someone also had painted the word Canby on the sidewalk. The Mulalans retaliated by burning an M in front of Canby High, then taking a, quote, noise-making tour around the city, most of it under the watchful eyes of on-duty police officers. One of the cars was pulled over after reports came in that the boys were shooting guns. However, a search of the vehicle by Officer Wayne Watson revealed no firearms, only 5 lengths of rubber hose into which a 410-gauge shotgun shell had been forced. Yeah, I don't understand that either. The final injustice was the painting of the word Mulala across the entrances of the high schools in Oregon City and West Lynn. After questioning dozens of high school boys from Canby and Molalla, local police developed two theories as to the perpetrators of this dastardly deed. One was the Molalla High School boys had done it, a reporter later wrote. The other was that Canby youths were the painters inspired by a desire to give a black eye to their neighborly rivals. Police apparently became suspicious when they caught the perpetrators, and they all said, "Oh yeah, we're from Molalla," which is so dumb. In May 1965, the Canby Herald lamented the loss of one of the remaining county stores in the Canby area as the 91 store burned to the ground. The structure, located on Monitor Road south of Barlow and east of Hubbard, had been a landmark in the 91 community for over 30 years. The fire destroyed not only the livelihood of owner Henry Kober and his family, but also their home. They had bought the store the previous August and were living above it. Longtime residents recalled the building was built by a man named Hampton, the newspaper reported, enlarged and improved by the Grahams and later operated by the Alonzo Foltz family and Harold Haley's. Nicknamed the Old Castle, the Canby Grade School building was built in 1911. In 1974, its top two floors caught fire. Superintendent Paul Ackerman attempted to put out the fire with an extinguisher, but he soon realized he needed backup. He called the Canby Fire District, who in turn asked for help from Oregon City, Clackamas County, and Molalla. They fought the blaze for hours, but were unable to save the historic structure. A February 18, 1974, Canby Herald photo from the incident carries the memorable and poignant caption, "The Old Castle in Agony." In 1979, one of the largest chicken barns in the Northwest, 500 feet long by 60 feet wide, was destroyed in a blaze that broke out at Willamette Poultry Company on South Molina Road. The fire caused over 225,000 and killed some 45,000 week-old chicks. The manager at Hintz said he noticed the fire when an alarm went off shortly before 5 p.m., and he saw smoke coming from one of the doors. He and his son called the fire department, but by the time they arrived, the structure was fully involved. The fire was blamed on an electrical surge that blew a conduit at the center of the massive barn, though what caused the surge was a mystery. Firefighters from Canby, Molalla, and Beaver Creek fought to control the blaze and protect the barns until well after 10. They did a wonderful job, that department. They're highly recommended, Hint said, giving each firefighter his thanks and a free bucket of fried chicken, extra crispy. We have many more colorful and thrilling stories to share with you from the history of the Canby Fire District, but it will have to wait till next time on Canby Den.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.